Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here as we turn our attention during this Halloween season to healthy snacking. Judy Knudsen, UW Extension Family Living Educator for Brown County, our guest again, and it's always fun to talk about this. Judy, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me this morning.
You know what? We're a little late to the party, but October is National Popcorn Popping Month.
It is. And it's one of those popular snacks, just like lots of other snacks that we enjoy year-round.
And I tell you, and it can be a healthy snack, can it?
Well, interestingly enough, it can be. If you look at popcorn, the fact that it is a whole grain counts for a lot. It's also a good source of fiber, and it can be pretty filling. Part of the issue is that if we just eat popcorn as is with perhaps a little bit of salt and a little bit of maybe butter on it or flavoring, that's great. But there are some options of popcorn where there's a lot of fat and a lot of sodium and maybe not such a healthy snack.
You know, this here we've got Halloween coming up on Friday, and daughter Emily and I are going to be out trick-or-treating, so we're going to be probably coming home with a lot of candy. In our case, when we get home, she gets to pick out candy that she wants to keep, and then she leaves the rest on the counter, and the Great Pumpkin comes during the night and brings her a book or two and takes the candy for other children who didn't get any.
And that's not a bad idea. And that's one of the things with Halloween being tomorrow and kids trick-or-treating, as a parent or a caregiver, it's certainly a good time to have a conversation with your child about, okay, when you get home, you know, how much candy can you, you know, have and be able to consume? And what do we do with the rest of that candy? You know, do you get a few pieces every day? Does the Great Pumpkin come like in your house? You know, that sort of thing. So have that conversation up front rather than when the kids get home and they're ready just to, you know, munch away on all that candy they've gotten, because it's really an exciting holiday. But it also can lead to kids consuming an awful lot of sugar.
I'm thinking back, I'm thinking now Halloween and combining popcorn and Halloween. When I was a kid, we'd go through the neighborhood and I, you know, and trick or treat. And we, Mabel Korfmacher, who was the mother of one of my best friends, Roger, at her home, I always looked forward to that stop because she made homemade popcorn balls.
And
they were delicious.
Yes.
Yeah, and they probably weren't that good for us, but
you're right. But they do taste good, and certainly now with the concern about the treats that kids get and the fact that they need to be wrapped, we just don't see the existence of popcorn balls as snacks that are or as items that are given for trick or treat. But yeah, those were very tasty, but also had quite a bit of sugar in them because they're often made with, you know, white corn syrup. So probably not, you know, the best option, but you know, it's also all about moderation. You know, it's, you know, a little of this and a little of that, and it's not eating huge quantities of something. So one popcorn ball on Halloween or a couple of them probably didn't hurt you at all. but it's just if you would do it on a daily basis, it would certainly get to be a concern. So that's another thing, too, for parents or caregivers to think about for tomorrow is moderation. And for all of us, as we snack throughout the year, it's moderation.
Yeah, that's actually very good at guys. I guess in thinking about popcorn again, there are ways that we can make it healthy. There are some, aren't there some tasty toppings that can replace those high fat ones?
There are. And the first thing you need to do is realize that a lot of people buy microwave popcorn, and certainly take the time to read the nutrition facts label, because there's a great variance in regards to the amount of fat, the grams of fat, as well as the amount of sodium in those packages. I was shopping last weekend, so I took a look at popcorn. I did find one brand of microwave popcorn had 12 grams of fat per serving, and there were three servings in the bag. That's 36 grams of fat for one bag of popcorn, and most of us can eat a bag of microwave popcorn by ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, and when we look at how much fat that a female needs, it's usually about 50 to 70 grams of fat a day for the average woman and 90 to 110 grams for a man. So, you know, if a female ate that bag of popcorn, 36 grams of fat, they've already gotten about half their fat for the day just from that one item. So it really pays to take the time to look at microwave popcorn. You now can buy the 100-calorie bags. You can also buy microwave popcorn that has less fat, less sodium in it. So take a look at what's available, because that certainly can help you make some wise decisions.
We actually have one of those old-time, but it's brand new, but it's an old-time crank-type thing where you use, you know, just straight popcorn. It's not in, mm-hmm. and that makes really good popcorn, actually.
It does. I have a Whirly popper as well, and it makes excellent popcorn with a very small amount of oil. You know, I can add a little bit of salt to it, or as you just mentioned, some flavorings. There are lots of flavorings on the market to flavor that popcorn other than salt. So it's kind of fun once in a while to do something a little bit different. Try some of those flavorings, see what you and your family think about those. But that certainly can be another healthy option when you want to add a little bit of flavor to that popcorn.
Judy Knutson, UW Extension Family Living Educator for Brown County, our guest today as we talk with her about healthy snacking. Do you have a healthy topping for popcorn? Love to hear it. And what about healthy toppings for crackers? We haven't talked crackers yet, but we can get into that. Or maybe you have a nutrition question about something else. Judy's certainly happy to help. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page. Go to our Facebook page. The Larry Mueller Show is the title of our page. And we'd certainly love to hear from you in that way as well. I mentioned crackers. How do crackers compare to other snacks?
Well, crackers, you have to pay attention to what you're buying. Unfortunately, for a lot of crackers, they may say that they have whole grains in them or that they're made with whole wheat. But actually, if you take a look at them, unless it's 100% whole wheat or if you check the ingredient listing and it's near the top, within the top five ingredients, a lot of those crackers really don't have a lot of whole wheat or whole grain in them. So you really need to be a good shopper. We do know the more whole wheat or whole grain that's in the cracker, the more fiber, the more nutrients. And there are some crackers that have a lot of fat. So you think about serving of crackers, it's usually about five crackers or approximately five crackers. If you're watching football on Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon and you're sitting there with some good Wisconsin cheese and you're not really paying attention to what you're eating, it's really easy to consume a pile of crackers and just not even be paying attention to what you're eating. And five crackers for most of us is kind of like just you know, an appetizer. So we really do need to pay attention to the number of them we eat, and also to look for those that have more nutritional value than some of the other types of crackers that are on the market.
You know, we were just talking with Dr. Michael Peterson about seasonal affective disorder, and of course he said we crave the carbohydrates in, you know, this time of year. And you recently posted an article on your Brown County UW Extension Office's Healthy Eatings and Food Safety Tips blog about choosing the best crackers.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, go ahead. It's certainly, you know, we need to pay attention to the types of crackers we eat. A lot of times we just grab something off the shelf, we put it in our cart, and we take off, cross that item off of our grocery list. But, yeah, there's, you know, you really have to look for crackers that, you know, are labeled whole wheat, whole grain, that actually have a significant amount of either of those products in them. And, you know, crackers as a whole, you know, they're they're tasty, but some of them do have a lot of sodium in them, and some of them have quite a few fat grams in them. So we need to make some wise choices when we're buying crackers rather than just wheeling past the cracker section and grabbing a couple different boxes.
John in Washburn, thanks a lot for calling, John. Hi.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
I just wanted to say I use seasonings on my popcorn all the time. I use, like, salt-free lemon pepper, Italian seasoning, curry powder, whatever I'm in the mood for. And I put olive oil on it also instead of butter. And then I just recently found a recipe in an old cookbook that I just acquired for a homemade sauce that you make using chicken broth and a jar of Cheese Whiz and stuff. And you cook this up, and then you pour it on individual bowls of popcorn.
Hmm. But Cheese Whiz Cheese Whiz sounds like a kind of a, I don't know. What do you think, Judy?
Well, it's one 16-ounce bottle with 6 cups of low-sodium, which is what I use, low-sodium chicken broth, or vegetable broth, or whatever you want to use.
Oh, okay. Well, Judy, what do you think?
Yeah. I don't think, you know, Cheese Whiz grantedly has some sodium in it. You can really taste that. But if you're using the low-sodium chicken broth, that certainly would help. And you think about the fact that you're talking 6 cups of popcorn or maybe even a little bit more, is that you kind of spread out that mixture. It's not something you eat every day. So it's kind of back to the rule, everything in moderation. It's in, if you know... It's certainly another way to add flavor to popcorn other than just using, you know, butter and salt. So on the whole, if you're going to do it once in a while, probably not a bad option.
Yeah, great. John, thanks. I like your ideas. Leo in Dodgeville, hi to you.
Howdy, howdy. Just a little addendum there to popcorn. I do air popper. I stopped doing regular pan or microwave or anything like that about 10 years ago, but I use regular... an air popper, I drizzle on olive oil as I'm popping it, and then I'm dashing in Nutri yeast. I don't know if anybody knows what Nutri yeast is, but I give it to my cats. I eat it myself all the time. It gives you a nice coat. It does for the cats. I'm not sure what it does to me, but it's really good, loaded with B vitamins, a little bit of salt or gamacho, which is salt and sesame seeds, a lower sodium thing. A tremendous taste, and I don't know. I mean, I think I can eat that every day and be a happy man, along with a Guinness. I mean, I think that's just a great evening snack.
There you go. Judy, what do you think? It sounds pretty good.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Wisconsin, so, you know, the beer certainly goes along with the popcorn. But, you know, talking about the olive oil is, you know, one of those really good oils for us. And so if you're, you know, using olive oil, that's certainly
a good thing.
Your option than butter.
All right. But Judy, we're going to take a quick look at the news, weather. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net. And then we'll be back. She'll be with us until 12:30. Eating well isn't always easy, is it? Besides the challenges of a busy modern life, there's also cravings to deal with and a lot of temptations all around us, as a matter of fact. But we've got some candied corn right outside my studio door right now that I have to walk by a couple of times. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Even when we know what we should be eating, it's not always easy to make those healthy choices. And Judy Knudsen, our UW Extension Family Living Educator for Brown County, is with us to talk about that. Happy to have her along so we can all learn what to keep in mind when choosing what to eat and what to feed our families. And Judy, thanks again for spending time with us today. I appreciate it very much.
It's a pleasure.
Always, you know, one thing that really has caused me to pause in my snacking and is something I found at a bicycle shop where I was talking with one of the guys at the bike shop, and we were talking about eating, and he said, you know how far you have to walk off the calories in a single M&M? And I said, I have no idea. And he said, well, you can look this up afterwards, but if you go to Camp Randall Stadium, the football stadium, and you get in the end zone and you walk all the way down to the other end and through the end zone, you have then walked off one M&M. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And if you buy, you see these candy or these cookies sometimes with 8 or 10 M&Ms in them. And I'm thinking, I'd have to walk, well, if there's 10, it's over 100 yards per M&M. I have to walk 1,000 yards just to walk off the M&Ms and the cookie. What do you think?
And it's kind of a depressing thought, isn't it?
So when I walked by that candy corn, I thought, okay, that's probably at least 100 yards.
So just keep walking and limit it to just a few. But you're right. I don't think a lot of people think about, you know, what we consume. And even those small handfuls, you have, a few candy corn each time you walk past that bowl. But after a period of time in a day, that adds up. And we don't always think about, you know, it's so easy to eat something, but the amount of time and energy it takes to expend those calories. And for a lot of us, we're not as active. You know, we're sitting, so we're not as busy. It is work to have to burn off those calories. If someone's in a has a position or is really active in working out, that's great. But for a lot of us, it's easy to stop, grab a handful of something, eat it, keep moving, and we just don't realize that we've consumed a lot of calories, and somehow we need to burn those off, or we need to balance what we eat later in the day so that this all balances out to the amount of calories that we need.
Yeah, I have an app on my phone that's Map My Run, and that, you know, you enter in your weight, height, age, and so forth, and it'll tell you how many calories you burn, and I do a 5K every morning, or most every morning anyway, and it's only like 400 calories, you know. And, of course, it adds up over the course of a week, but 400 calories is almost nothing when it comes to a sandwich.
And then you add the French fries, and you add a soda with sugar in it, and then that's just one meal. And then we think about the other meals and the other snacking we do throughout the day. You know, we don't realize the amount of calories that we consume. Also, too, a lot of us don't think about portion sizes. A lot of portion sizes are, you know, we think about the foods we eat. I bought a muffin today to use for a presentation later today on healthy eating. You know, and if you weigh that muffin, you know, it's probably the size of two muffins that we probably should be consuming, but we've gotten we've gotten so accustomed to supersized and everything's large, so we get our money's worth, that it's really easy, just beyond stopping to eat a few candy corn, that a lot of the serving portions we get are probably larger than what we need.
Yeah. Evan in Madison, thanks a lot for calling, by the way. Appreciate your call.
Hey, love your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So back to popcorn.
Yeah.
If we can for just a second.
Sure.
I just wanted to share a family tradition that we have that, as far as I understand, began with my father's, when my father was a child, and it might go older than this, but popcorn dinner every Sunday night.
Popcorn dinner.
And the way you do it is you crank out a bunch of popcorn, and what we did as I was growing up was, you know, we would have along with the popcorn, a big plate of cheese and fruit and meat, and our family has added things like olives and green onions and, you know, vegetables, fresh vegetables, and it's just, you know, it's really filling and really fun, and I don't know. And I've heard of some other people that have done this before, and just wanted to share.
So popcorn takes the center stage, but there are other things that go along with it. That's pretty cool.
Exactly. And there's also this other weird thing that I also grew up doing with the popcorn, which was pouring milk over it and eating it like a savory cereal.
Ah. Hmm. Well, that's another one I haven't heard. And milk, well, that'd be all right. I don't know about what do you think, Judy?
Well, you know, certainly we know that most Americans don't get enough milk, so, or dairy products, so that calcium and vitamin D are really important. So, you know, if somebody wants to eat, you know, popcorn with milk on it. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, popcorn as it is, you know, good source of fiber, and, you know, it's a whole grain, and then you add milk to it. That really is, that would be, you know, a pretty good option. I also was intrigued. I've heard of people having popcorn for dinner, but nice to hear that there was, you know, some added fresh fruit and some added vegetables, some cheese, you know, that calcium again. So, you know, it's nice that other food items were added rather than just consuming popcorn, because we do need to eat a good variety of foods at every meal and throughout the day. So, you know, to supplement is a great way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again for calling. By the way, you can join in, too, with your questions or comments or experiences to share. Do you have a healthy topping for popcorn? Do you... What about healthy snacking for you? Do you have some experiences of things you'd love to share with us or would like to share? I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. Or you may have a general nutrition question. Judy can certainly happy to help out with that as well. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or you can post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Cynthia says, I don't know if it's healthy, but I like to toss some grated Parmesan cheese on my popcorn along with garlic salt. It's one of my favorite snacks.
And Parmesan cheese, you know, would be, you know, a fine addition that would add some nice flavor to it. Whether she used garlic salt or garlic powder, if somebody's really concerned about the amount of sodium that they are consuming or need to be because of some medical conditions, certainly using the garlic powder would be an option. But, you know, you think about Parmesan cheese and then the garlic salt or powder, that's going to give popcorn a really nice flavoring. So I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I like that too. Although I might go with the garlic powder because there's the Parmesan cheese is kind of a little salty anyway, isn't it?
It is, and that's why I suggested the garlic powder. I think that would probably be a nice complement, particularly, you know, that the dietary guidelines now say if you're over the age of 51, it's only 1,500 milligrams of sodium a day, and that's just over half a teaspoon, so that's really not very much. So it's nice to also have available those garlic powders because they have the flavor, but they don't have that salt included. So it helps us as we, for those over the age of 51, as they pay attention to the amount of sodium that they're consuming.
Jill in Clintonville has something for us. Jill, hi, thanks for calling.
Hello there. I am a stress eater, and I also seem to be affected by that seasonal disorder, and I'm wondering if your guest might have some suggestions on, healthy stress eating.
Ah, so when you're under stress, you're glomming onto the food.
That's it.
Okay. All right. Well, what do you think, Judy?
Well, there's certainly some options if you're a stress eater. And one of the things when I'm under stress and if I'm, you know, wanting to munch on something is to make sure I have the right food either at work or at home to be munching on. And so I eat things like apples, carrots, celery, you know, they don't have a lot of calories. They have some nutritional value, but because they have that crunch and that munch to them, I think that makes me, it satisfies me. Plus, it takes a little while to eat them. You can't just, you know, eat them really quickly. And so that helps as well. So, you know, I avoid things like candy. I have a sweet tooth, so anything that's got sugar in it, I will love. And so I tend not to keep those things in the house because I know if I'm stressed or hungry, that's what I'm going to choose. So a lot of it comes down to, you know, what's available. Also, to think about beverages. We get a lot of calories from sweetened beverages. So, you know, instead of drinking, you know, a sweetened beverage, what can you have available that would be satisfying? Maybe it's flavored water. Whether you flavor it yourself with different types of fruit or you purchase it, but making certain that we also have beverages that are healthy and low in calories and low in sugar as well. But, yeah, I do. I also keep cereal around the house that's low in sugar. I do have crackers, and I do eat popcorn. So those are, if I'm under stress, those are kind of the foods I go to because I know they'll fill me up, satisfy me, and I'm not going to get a lot of extra calories.
You know, I've taken to your apple suggestion. I've taken to eating apples in the evening if I'm, you know, I want a snack or something. And that really works pretty well for me. And they're handy. You know, they're in the refrigerator. I always make sure I've got a bag of apples in the fridge. And, something I can grab, and it's easy. That's the other thing. Ease.
It isn't. It ease is huge because we know that people aren't going to spend a lot of time in food preparation unless it's for a big meal or something like that. So it needs to be easy. The nice thing about apples, you know, I can throw one in my bag in the morning, keep one in the car, have one at the office, in the refrigerator, whatever. But, you know, they keep well. And so if you don't eat it that day, it's always available the next day. And, you know, that ease is of being able to eat something that's satisfying is a great option.
Yeah. Jill, thanks again. Judy and Mason, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. My suggestion of what I do is I can have apples, carrots, celery, kohlrabi, and I dip it into hummus. Very healthy, low fat, not carbs.
Yeah. Hummus, I like hummus too. What about you, Judy?
I like hummus, and I eat a lot of hummus. Whether it's on vegetables or, you know, pita chips, whatever. But hummus is one of my go-to foods in the refrigerator. If I'm late getting home from work or another activity, sometimes that's, you know, satisfying just to have hummus, some pita chips and some vegetables as a light evening meal. So, yes, I always have a container of hummus in the refrigerator. I think it's gaining in popularity. You know, I think for the longest time, you're like, doesn't look very exciting. But, you know, it's really handy. It's good. It's one of those good-for-you foods. So, you know, think about, you know, purchasing some, getting, think about what you yourself consuming it, but also other family members, because it is one of those good-for-you foods.
Pat in Holman, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I had to smile when I heard that gentleman talking about having popcorn for dinner every Sunday night, because I have had popcorn for my Sunday night dinner for as many years as I can remember. I don't know when I started, but that's all I have is popcorn. That's it.
Oh, you're just a popcorn.
And afterwards, if I'm still hungry afterwards, I'll eat an apple.
No.
But I always have popcorn. And sometimes when I'm pouring it from the pan into the bowl, I squirt a little bit of Pam butter-flavored spray.
Uh-huh.
And it makes it taste like you've melted butter into it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that adds very many calories, but it gives it a good flavor.
Yeah. Pat, thanks for calling. What do you think, Judy?
That's fine. A number of people are using the nonstick spray, particularly the butter flavor. And then if you want to sprinkle a little bit of salt on, the salt sticks a little bit better. And the nonstick spray, particularly if it's the butter flavor, does add some flavor to it. Virtually no calories. So that is a very viable option if people want a little bit more flavor on their popcorn.
Ah, so you're doing it right, Pat. Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. And open lines for you at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Ted in Toma. Hello.
Hey, how you doing? I just want to share a little story. This goes back about 25 years ago. I was working in a little self-serve gas station type place, and a big tanker truck stopped in front. One of those, you know, big chrome-looking, shiny tanker trucks. And a guy came in to use the phone. This was obviously back before cell phone days. And he was in a panic. And he was on the phone to his dispatcher, I could tell. And he was quite alarmed about whatever. And I could hear him say, I have to find a terminal that'll take what I'm hauling within 2 hours or something. And he was quite distraught. So when he hung up, I just had to say, what are you hauling anyway? And he goes, that's the oil they use in microwave popcorn. And he said, if I don't get this out of my truck within 2 hours, it turns to concrete. And it had been a long time since I could eat a bag of microwave popcorn. I think about that every time I see a bag in a microwave.
Well, there you are, Judy. Think about that going into your stomach.
Yeah, that's a good story. And interestingly enough, the number one use for microwaves these days is to pop popcorn. So, you know, you mentioned Larry and I do the same thing as, you know, we just, you know, pop it on top of the stove, and that's probably the best way to go. It's not always convenient when you're at work or whatever to do it that way, but I do think you do a better job at controlling the type of oil that you use, the amount of sodium that you put on, perhaps if you put a little butter on. So, you know, going back and doing things the way it used to be done sometimes does have a little bit more nutritional value than using that microwave popcorn or reading the label on the microwave popcorn to make certain that you get a variety that's is a healthy option.
You know, here's an email from Shirley in Delafield. She says she can make healthy popcorn, homemade popcorn, by putting kernels in a brown lunch bag, crimping the open of the bag, and then microwaving for 3 minutes. So she just makes her own bag.
Right. I would be a little bit careful about those brown bags because a number of them are made from recycled materials.
Oh.
So, yeah. So, they're, you know, make certain, you know, that possible risk of fire because they come from, oftentimes they're made with recycled paper. So, you know, that's something you certainly can make it in your microwave. I would do a little bit more research on whether using paper bags would be your safest option or if there's a better option out there.
Yeah. I wonder if you could put them in some sort of bowl.
Yeah, and you can buy containers for your microwave where you can actually pop it in the container, so that you know
might be
an option too. But you know, the good thing is she's eating popcorn and it's being prepared in a healthy way, so that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Abby in Madison, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi.
And what can we do for you?
I heard the guest mention sodium levels for adults over age 51 had recently been modified to 1500, and I have young kids, and I'm always looking at labels, and particularly sodium concerns me. I'm wondering what the research says or what the guidelines are for sodium for younger children.
Typically, for rest of the population, they would say about 2400 milligrams a day, which is about a teaspoon. For many Americans,
okay,
though, they oftentimes consume twice that much, but about 2400 milligrams would be appropriate for other individuals, those who are under the age of 51 or don't have other health issues.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, so even if they're, you know, younger kids, 7, and I always felt like that needed to be half the adult recommendation or something like that, but that's not mm-hmm. the case. Maybe the younger kids can handle the...
Right, but what we tell people is salt is an acquired taste. So, you know, we would recommend, and I recommend when I'm doing nutrition programs for parents with young kids, you know, pay attention to the amount of sodium that they eat. The less they eat, is probably going to be better for them. But so many foods, you know, pre-processed foods have a lot of sodium in them, and people get used to grabbing the salt shaker and putting salt on their food before they taste it. So even the little things you can do at home of, you know, not boiling your potatoes in salted water, not putting the salt shaker on the kitchen table, paying attention to what you're buying if it's pre-processed foods will certainly make a difference. And that will help reduce the amount of sodium that they're going to consume on a daily basis, which will be great for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Dana in Manitowoc. Hello, thanks for calling.
Hello. One real quick comment about popcorn is one of my favorite ways is to actually pop it in bacon grease from humanely raised happy hogs, which isn't as bad in cholesterol as one would think, and it provides all the salt that you would need. So the bacon fat is just amazing for that. But the reason I was calling is I wanted to just kind of maybe get your take on how important it is to eat your fresh fruits and vegetables when they're in season so that they're nutrient dense and better for you. So,
yeah, thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm. Good question. Certainly we want people to consume fruits and vegetables. We don't do a great job in this country of consuming enough fruits and vegetables. If you look at the MyPlate .gov, half our plate should be fruits and vegetables, and so we don't do a good job of that. We you know, it would be desirable if people can consume, you know, produce in season. That's the best way to go. But unfortunately, where we live, a lot of produce needs to be shipped in. The good thing is most of the produce that's harvested now is processed in less than 24 hours. So it gets processed. A lot of it immediately goes to the processing facility, gets processed right away, even in a matter of hours. So what they're showing, what research shows is that produce, the difference, the nutritional value between canned, frozen, and fresh is not as great as it used to be. And actually, it's they're all very similar in nutritional value. So during the season, like right now, where we have lots of squash and pumpkin and carrots and potatoes, those sorts of foods, this is a great time of year to enjoy them. When we get through winter and we don't have as much access to those foods, certainly to buy them frozen or canned is a viable option, because the nutritional value hasn't decreased that much because of processing.
Yeah, so all good information there. And Judy, thank you so much. It's been great talking with you today. I hope we can do this again.
Well, thank you for having me on the show.
I really appreciate it. Judy Knutson, another one of the great UW Extension folks. She's the UW Extension Family Living Educator for Brown County. And we use the UW Extension quite a bit, and we have you can tell why, because these folks know what they're doing, and they'll do it in a very pleasant way, like Judy did, Judy Knutson. Well, Garden Talk tomorrow, we'll talk about plant diseases with Dr. Death on Halloween and good care for woody ornamentals as well. Thank you for listening. And please stay with us. We have lots of good things in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.